So that's going to change the patterns of runoff. We're going to have to manage that somehow. One way to do that is to use more of our reservoirs upstream for flood space, and that means less space for water supply, so it kind of involves one of those trade-offs, which means we have to think about how do we store the water for water users differently. There are ways to do that, especially if we use our groundwater basins more actively. But then we're also going to have to think about, you know, is the traditional approach that we've had of just fixing the levees that we've got there now, which are often very close to the river, and you know, communities are building up right up to them in some places. In some areas, we want to probably use more of the Yolo bypass type approach, which has been a godsend for the Sacramento area in terms of preventing bad flood damage. Are there ways to expand that kind of approach in some other areas where there isn't building all the way up to the levees edges, using setback levees? They're doing some of that now in Yuba County on the Yuba River, moving the levees back. It gives you more flood protection for the urbanized and suburban areas. It allows you to maintain good ag land, not in fruit trees because there's a higher flood risk, but it does allow some multi-purpose benefits. It allows you to get some ecosystem benefits out of it. So if we think about spending some of our dollars in that way, it has to include not just the infrastructure, but also compensating the farmers that are forgoing their all the flexibility that they would otherwise have on their land. You have to also think about the local governments who are forgoing some tax revenues they might otherwise have. But there are ways to do that that I think can help us with the challenges that we're facing with climate change. But it's going to take money and sort of some new approaches.
Thank you.
And that $17 billion, as you said, does not include the Delta.
Right.
Which has the water supply, which will be continuing for, you know, probably another generation at least, and people who live behind the levees, I mean, millions of them. So. Plus all the infrastructure, oil, gas, roads,
pipelines.
I mean, pipelines, you have, you can't let it go.
Right.
It can't be inundated.
And
it
you,
just can't.
You look at, you know, there are other regions, too, that are not part of the estimate. So the San Francisco Bay Area, there are some maps that have circulated looking, that's the area that's going to get hit by sea level rise first because it's so close to sea level.
Yeah.
And look at a map with juxtaposed with where the airports are, where all of the major tech companies are. They're all, you know, in the lowlands.
Sorry? Sewage treatment,
yeah. Right, exactly, yeah. You know, there's a lot of issues that are going to have to be addressed.
And on that happy note, on that realistic note, thank you, Dr. Hanek, very much.
Thank you.
For your insight and your participation. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ellen, I just wanted you, if you have any information on two subjects at a later date, to let me know. If TPIC did a recent poll at all on the water bond, are those related issues? I can't remember if you have or not. I'd like to see that also. Relating to water supply and water quality, the issue of fracking, if you have any information on that.
Well, I can check back. I know that we did ask questions about the water bond last spring.
Was it last spring?
So maybe we're due. We had a couple questions on a few questions on water in a December 2012 survey. Which included sort of to what extent people think that water supply is a problem in their area. Still high, although it went down a bit from the peak of the drought a couple of years earlier. There was also a question about sort of a trade-off. Would people prefer focusing on water use efficiency and demand management more, or more on building new surface storage and storage? And that was about half-half. Which is about what it's been in past years. And then there was a new question on whether people thought that it was a good idea for the state to spend funds to support the health of native fish, like salmon and steelhead. 61% said yes, it was a good idea, but then there was a follow-up. For those who said yes, do you still think it's a good idea if this meant an increase in residential water bills? And that dropped down to 39%.
Yep.
So it's a good uphill battle to raise fees, I think. But you know, in some sense, highlighting at the broad level, you know, Californians tend to support environmental goals pretty broadly in this state, and the strong majority on just the idea of supporting fish habitat is another demonstration of that.
Thank you very much.
You.
All right, we have public comment. Can I see a show of hands? Come on down. I also want to acknowledge a letter that we received from the Delta Counties Coalition that had some very specific suggestions, which we'll probably deal with at the next hearing, about existing monies and expenditures and the near-term projects, as well as reducing reliance on the Delta as one of those incentives. So I'm sure we'll discuss that in more detail at the next hearing, when we talk about the differences between that have occurred since 2009. So who was first? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, just very briefly, I'd like to extend my appreciation, that of my clients. I'm Bob Reeb with Reeb Government Relations. I know the two chairs are well aware of who I am, but for those who are not, thank you to both chairs for holding this hearing. Some may think it's early, but I think the timing is wonderful, and I'd like to see more of this as we move forward to better inform the members of the legislature as to how best to move forward with the 2014 water bond. I just want to make two quick points, because I know a lot of people want to speak. I want to echo the conversation led by Ms. Hanek with respect to flood control. I know Chairman Wolk is very familiar with this. As it was indicated, the 2012 California Central Valley Flood Plan estimated $14 to $17 billion in needs just for the Central Valley and San Joaquin Valleys. The Delta is probably in that magnitude also, $10 to $14 billion. And I don't even know, on behalf of the California Central Valley Flood Protection that I represent, what we're looking at in Napa or Santa Clara or down south in the Riverside communities. But we're going to need to include that need in this discussion of the water bond on 2014. And the Flood Control Association is beginning to take a look at that, and we're thinking it's in the $2 to $3 billion range. For Central Valley flood protection, state plan of flood control. That includes the Delta and some other things. So I know people want to shrink the size of this bond, but here we are saying that this is something that's additive to what we had in 2009. You also heard about how the local water and wastewater utilities are expending local dollars up to $30 billion per year. And there's some question as to what the appropriate role of the state funding is. And I would just remind the members that where state investment is warranted is where the laws and policies that you enact place significant additional cost pressures on these local utilities. And I'll give just two examples that are driving costs locally. And this is not, and I don't want to speak to the value of this, only to the cost impacts, but when we look at the 20 by 2020 water conservation targets, where we're trying to reduce urban per capita conservation, and the encouragement to enact a tiered rate structure where we're capturing greater amounts of our rates from variable costs, which is to try and drive down the use of water per capita. In driving those down, it's forcing us to raise rates to recapture that lost revenue, if you will, to cover our fixed costs. So it is a bit of a downward spiral we find ourselves in, where policies are being effective. People are using less water, but in covering fixed and increasing costs, affordability in some of these local communities is becoming an issue. So it's important for the water bond to recognize that in the integrated regional water management planning and conservation funding, that there's a, that since the state legislature's in essence given us this goal or target, that we need some assistance. The other is the reduced reliance on the delta.
I'm going to ask you to sum up.
Okay, the reduced reliance on the delta is appropriately focusing areas that I that my clients represent, like the Water Replenishment District of Southern California, into looking at capturing more stormwater and having to do advanced water treatment, because the carrying capacity of the groundwater basins are such that we have to treat that recycled water to even greater degrees. And that involves greater electrical costs and treatment costs. And there's an appropriate role for the state to provide funding in those areas as well.
Okay, thank you. Next, please. Welcome. Who was next?
Yes.
You're on.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I'm Jane Wagner-Tyke. I'm a policy analyst with Restore the Delta. We're a broad-based coalition of nearly 10,000 supporters, including environmentalists, business leaders, fishermen, farmers, and concerned citizens who want to see the Delta restored and protected for future generations. We advocate for restored water flows through the Delta, for levee upgrades, to protect Delta communities, and for water projects throughout California that will lead to water independence, regional water independence, and lessen the need for water to be taken from the Delta. An $11 billion water bond that supports construction or mitigation of twin tunnels through the Delta will be interpreted by voters as a big government project that the state cannot afford. And they won't be wrong when you consider the fact that this $11 billion water bond would have a payback rate of over twice that. They would really be correct in that assessment. And even worse, these proposed tunnels will not make any new water for the state. It simply move water from one region to another, inflicting environmental damage along the way.
That's true.
All to keep corporate mega farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley in production when they contribute less than 0.3% to the state's GDP. A modest water bond centered on creating myriad local water projects throughout the state would not only be more cost-effective, but also would create more water for Californians. Water use efficiency projects like cisterns, waterless urinals, reclamation, groundwater cleanup, stormwater capture and reuse, those would also make a number of jobs in urban centers. The LAO report tells us that $96.9 billion in state infrastructure general obligation bonds have been approved by voters since 2000, and it looks like about 20% of that has been authorized for resources and environmental protection, including Props 84 and 1E. We'd like to see that money, and it looks like there's well over $2 billion of it left, spent for what it was intended for, Delta levees, flood management, and regional multi-benefit projects. What we can't do is we can't continue to spend money on large boondoggle projects that do not deliver. According to the Legislative Analyst's Office, from 1952 to 2007, funding to build the state water project totaled about $6.4 billion. From revenue and general obligation bonds, the original cost estimate was $1.75 billion, and we're still not finished paying that back. If this water bond moves forward, it has to create more water in the most effective manner possible, and that's why Restore the Delta and our growing membership base will support a water bond centered on creating regional self-sufficiency. Projects that lead to water independence are what is best for taxpayers and for water ratepayers. Projects that lead to water independence will help restore flows in the Delta, and that will do more to heal and restore the Delta than any other projects put forth for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you next? Yes.
Is that better? My name is Osha Meserve, and I'm with Local Agencies of the North Delta, which is a coalition of 14 reclamation, water, and levee maintenance districts in the northern part of the Delta, covering about 90,000 acres. And we've been following closely the development of the bond and the putting off of the bond over the years, and I just wanted to make a couple of brief comments. As we've heard this morning and other times, California is already suffering financially from over-reliance on general obligation bonds, and right now we're just struggling even to just be paying back the deficit retirement bonds alone until 2024 is a tremendous burden on the taxpayers across the state. The $11 billion water bond that's still proposed would add to this burden significantly. Local districts and farmers' livelihoods and sustainability in the Delta is threatened by both the new diversions of BDCP and the extensive habitat, while the bond act is clear that it shouldn't pay for the conveyance, it actually does not rule out paying for mitigation for the BDCP. If you look carefully at the wording of section 79712, and that's why we're glad that your committee is working so hard to work through these issues before moving forward with the water bond and looking at restructuring it significantly is something we recommend. It's important to note that it hasn't been established that the habitat creation proposed in BDCP and funded in large part at least $1.5 billion by the water bond would in fact have statewide benefits and also are not actually mitigation for the impacts of the new tunnels. And BDCP is moving forward on a cost-benefit analysis, but however, that analysis is fatally flawed, and it will not disclose all the costs and effects on the local economy in particular, and it also is attempting to take credit for things that are not actual benefits of the project. All the while, BDCP hasn't focused on making any attempt, whether over the past since 2008 and before, to optimize the project. How do we get the lowest cost with the highest benefits? The recent discussions around the NRDC portfolio-based alternative is a start in this direction, but that discussion has not been taken up by BDCP itself.
And I'll ask you to sum up as well.
Thanks. So we believe that optimization should be a prerequisite, and the current bond is bloated and constitutes a public giveaway to BDCP and others, and we encourage the committee to continue in its work. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Lori Chen. I'm here on behalf of Clean Water Action and the Community Water Center. Our interest in your effort has to do with safe and affordable drinking water, and we thank you so much for visiting this bond again. The current funding sources are inadequate for providing flexibility and to implement sustainable solutions for things like assistance to domestic well owners and funding to promote consolidation of small water systems. The funding falls short of addressing the needs of disadvantaged communities, and we look forward to working with the staff in identifying where we can correct these problems and how things are worded and how and the access for these communities to these funds.
Thank you. And last,
yeah,
but not least.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairs. Karen
Almost.
Lang. My clock is fast. Karen Lang, batting cleanup for the Delta Counties Coalition. I just wanted to commend to the remaining members of the committee here today that the Delta Counties Coalition participated with a broad stakeholder group, including all of the Valley counties. Over the last 2 years, they developed a fabulous list of projects that all of the counties endorsed. It's about 50 projects. Those are all near-term projects that could be funded that would reduce reliance on the Delta, reduce the strain on the Delta. And we were hoping that we could get some sort of a number from DWR on the amount of unencumbered funds that have already been authorized and get those projects out the door. Clearly, the sooner we start working on improving the Delta, the less expensive it will be for everyone, and the Delta quality will improve. So we wanted to commend that list to you. It's very rare to get agreement on Delta projects from below and above the pumps, and that's happened, so we would commend that list to you, and I think we'll be talking about it in the next hearing. So with that, thank you very much.
We shall, and thank you. We are now adjourned. It's been an excellent hearing, and I want to thank my co-chair, Senator Pavley, and those members who have been listening and also here, and thank the participants very much for their insightful information and the staff. Thank you.
Yeah, make us work.
Don't let it go to your head.
That's fun.